Administrator's report, and I really only have several items there. First is a copy of the Delaware State Police report for March, which shows a 1,381 criminal arrest in Sussex County, as well as over 4,000 traffic arrests during March. And then next Tuesday at 10 a.m., the proposed fiscal 2008 budget will be presented. And although this meeting next Tuesday will not be a public hearing, the public, of course, is invited to attend. Preceding the meeting, a press briefing will be held at 7:30 a.m. in this room. Public hearings for the proposed budget will be held on June 19th at the regularly scheduled county council meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Parker.
Yeah, that's Broadkill.
You wish.
I think it's Slaughter Beach.
My purpose of being here this morning is just to advise the council that we have begun a 13-week intensive ad campaign concerning the 911 readdressing project.
Right.
Ads began to air yesterday, and they will continue for, as I said, the 13-week period. What we're trying to do is to stress to the public the importance of providing to us their landline phone numbers so that we can attach those to the addresses that we've created, which will have an end result of an enhanced 911 system. We also are stressing in this ad the importance of posting the address in a conspicuous place in accordance with the county ordinance that you folks adopted over 18 months ago. So again, we're just here this morning to make this public that this is a campaign that's going to continue on through the summer. We hope to get a good response from this. We've got about 42,000 addresses that we don't have phone numbers to attach to. Those 42,000 we're trying to pull out of the system, and we're going to do a direct mailing with a postcard that they will send back to us with the information that we need in conjunction with this ad campaign. So we're making a very strong effort here to wind this project up and provide EOC and our emergency responders with a system that they deserve and need.
Yeah, it was on Channel 16 last night.
I think we had
nightmares looking at Chip.
I saw Chip this morning.
I take no credit.
I saw myself too. And, you know,
I have a question.
How do you know if you're one of the 40,000? Is there a website we can go to?
You will get, yes, it's available on our website.
What do they do? What do they go to? Tell them.
Go to the Sussex County website,
right?
www.sussexcountyde.gov. And there's a spot on there where you can go in and update your 911 address.
What's it called? What's the?
Right on the main page, verify your 911 address.
Okay, it says verify, okay.
But in answer to your question, whether someone knows if their information is not verified, that's the purpose of sending out the mailers, which the assessment division is planning in the next few weeks to send out a postcard similar to this here. And these are, Eddie, is that correct? These are at the printers now, or some
yes,
of them are
they will begin to go out next week.
It'll be a two-portion detachable postcard that you can fill in your information on. But the idea is to send these postcards to those property owners and residents who have not verified their information. And by Mr. Parker's estimate, we have about 42,000.
Would some of that 40,000 be like people who own second homes or people who have seasonal apartments that they rent?
Yes.
Right. Like for instance, I got an apartment that I rent that's got a telephone to it.
Yes.
That's probably the 40,000.
Well, that's a portion of them, yes. And that's why we've chosen to run this campaign through the summer months to try to get the attention of those folks as they're down here.
Because that lasted 40 years. Like,
yeah. And with the cards, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Parker, the cards are going to be mailed to the address that we have on the tax bill, correct?
That's correct. It'll go to their home, whether they reside in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Sussex County, and urge them to contact us either through the return of the attached card or through the internet or by phone call so that we can get that information. We also have an answering system that comes on at 4:30 that allows people to leave a message for us. they can leave the address or the phone number, or they can leave a message for us to call them back the next morning, and they will get a call the following business day. So we're doing everything we can possibly do that we know of to get this information in.
Right.
And I think we've got a sample of this ad, if any of you haven't seen it. It's only a 30-second clip.
And I, just to, yeah. to set up the is commercial.
Eddie, I have a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There was an article in the News Journal this morning indicating that a higher percentage of young adults are keeping or maintaining no landline and only use cell phones, and that percentage is increasing every year. How do you handle that?
Well, there's, it's my understanding that there's federal legislation that's going to require that those phones have the ability to be located through GPS.
Right.
And that's a system that will be implemented
at the call
down the road with
but not in that residence per se, right?
I'm getting emotional.
Not at that residence. It will locate where that call is coming from, which is what you want.
Okay. Thomas may be able to speak to this. Joe, if I'm not mistaken, is it the state of Delaware that's responsible for the GPS location of cell phones?
The FCC mandated throughout the country that all cell phones be what they call phase two compliant, which means there's a GPS chip in the phone.
Right.
And our center has to be able to accept that information, and through a system of map data, which Eddie's information feeds into, it will be able to pinpoint a cell phone right now within 175 yards of the closest cell phone tower it's coming off of. Eventually, it'll be so that it'll be able to pinpoint that phone directly, and we could actually follow them on a map if we had to. To give you an indication, right now our call volume out of our 911 calls, approximately 55% of our calls are cell phone calls.
Ooh. How soon will that technology be in place?
We have that technology at our center currently today. We have the ability to do that. It comes through the state of Delaware. The state of Delaware maintains the data. But Eddie's information is inputted into that data through the addressing, so it's very important that we have that.
So you can get within a close...
Yes. The better the data and address, the closer we can pinpoint these people.
Oh, neat.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Pretty wild.
That's if you have a new phone.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. The older phones do not have the technology built into them. And I think it's important to stress to people, and this was mentioned in the story last night on television, or public official, I guess that was me, said that 911 is not magic, and it's not magic. I think there's a disturbingly, it's disturbingly apparent to me that there are some people who just assume that the information will appear on the dispatcher's computer screens. That's the idea to get to that point, but we have to upload, on the front end, we have to put the data in. We need the data, the telephone numbers with their addresses, so that when that number calls 911 at some future date, the database will know that the call is coming from 555-1111. It'll say, okay, I know it's coming from that number. This is the matching address, and that's what will display on the computer screen for the dispatcher.
Another component to this process, paramedics are here today. We're expanding our computer-aided dispatch system. We've actually put laptops in their paramedic vehicles, and it connects into our CAD system. When we push a call out, they get the actual directions on how to get there. If the data that's in the system is not up to date, sometimes those directions can be misleading.
Right.
So it's important that this data be in there, and we upgrade this as much as possible. And I didn't know if Glenn or anybody wants to speak on that or not. I know that was part of the news clip last night.
Right.
They don't have to call Tom.
That's a JoJo.
All right. You want to show the commercial? Let me just set this up by saying that we filmed this in April, I believe it was, and I'd like to thank the couple of people for their help. We had Paula Moore and John Haney from the EMS department. They were our paramedic actors for this commercial spot. Also like to thank Glenn Lucky, Tim Cooper, and Donna Pusey, Eddie Parker, and Buddy Lynch from Assessment and Mapping and Addressing. I'm not seeing anything.
You need to drag this.
Okay. Bear with us. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
That's it.
I got it. It's not doing that.
I'm getting crucified.
Eddie, has any of the towns approached you while they're doing that? Has any of the towns approached you for help or?
Yes, and those towns we are currently helping, and we're getting information from a number of towns in the county. Towns that are doing a lot of annexation are asking us to take on that job of addressing the new.
Like Bridgeville or something like that.
That's a Herdrick promise.
The goal is to get all the towns on board.
It's a Herdrick commercial.
Well, that's the Herdrick commercial that preceded our commercial.
You're trying to hustle.
We're trying to sell cars.
Yes.
Pay for this operation. What do you think, Joe?
All right, ready?
After these change orders, maybe.
All right, here we go.
In an emergency, help is just a phone call away.
Emergency responders can
find you. Recently, Sussex County issued new 911 addresses.
In order for emergency workers to reach you when you're unable to give your location, you must do two things. First, call the Sussex County Addressing Office to connect your telephone number to your address. Second, visibly display your up-to-date street address outside your property. It's your responsibility to ensure emergency workers can find you when seconds count.
Just because we had bad audio there, we'll run it one more time.
Thank you.
We'll put you in the driver's seat. That's a Herdrick promise.
In an emergency, help is just a phone call away. That is, if emergency responders can find you. Recently, Sussex County issued new 911 addresses. In order for emergency workers to reach you when you're unable to give your location, you must do two things. First, call the Sussex County Addressing Office to connect your telephone number to your address. Second, visibly display your up-to-date street address outside your property. It's your responsibility to ensure emergency workers can find you when seconds count.
Now, for the 13-week run that we have, we're actually airing this on four local television stations, WBOC 16, their sister station, Fox 21, WMDT TV 47, and its sister station, the CW3. And between now and first part of August, I believe, we have a total of about 150 spot runs. Because we're a nonprofit governmental agency, we were able to get some bonus ads along with that.
Public service announcements?
Well, they're not public service announcements. They're commercial spots, but...
We did do public service announcements.
But we did do public service announcements separately of this.
Okay.
Are you doing more than one, or are you just going to wear that one out?
We're just going to wear this one out until the wheels fall off.
I got a question. I mean, everybody's so used to the cable stations.
We are also...
And the cable stations are a fraction of the price of some of the stations you just talked about.
That's right.
And you can get a lot more coverage and a bigger bang for your buck. Are you sure you've allocated the right distribution of...
We're going to do cable starting probably around July 1st. And the rationale for that is because the cable systems, we especially want to capture the people who are here in the summertime, second homeowners, and the cable systems... you're right. We'll leverage. You can get quite a bit more, but you're talking about a very focused audience. If you have a 30-second spot on A&E Network, for instance, it might be $6 for that spot, but you might only be hitting in Sussex County 100 viewers, and of those, how many might actually see the ad or pay attention to the ad?
Right.
So, yes, that's something we are looking at is starting July 1 with the cable systems, Comcast and Mediacom, so that we can drop the spot on channels such as A&E, USA Networks, what have you, during their local breaks.
Thank you. We need to move. You got that for anyone else?
No.
Okay, good. You can take it down, because if you were, I was going to tell you, get ready now. Mr. Ludke.
I got her.
Where's that?
He's on a roll there.
How much you give him to the bicyclist?
That's yours.
Get this on.
That's not us.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
With regard to the onboard computers, it was a result of a collaborative effort between us and Joe and you all. That was a 5-year project, you may recall, that puts us really ahead of the game with regard to most other jurisdictions in the area. So that's something I think that we can all be proud of. With regard to the records retention, that is in the West Complex, which is also where we live. They found a number of things. We had lost two paramedics. They found a couple of those back there, along with a truck. Seriously, though, we had two workers' comp claims out of that area from our people going back there looking for records and things in the past. So we're really glad to see that area cleaned up, and that young man has done a heck of a job out there as well. What brings me here today is a lease for a station at on the east side of the county. The history of Station 104 is kind of checkered. It started out in 1991 in a storefront at Five Points, where the vehicle lived outside. They lived for a while in something that is lovingly called the Roach Motel that was off of Route 1 before my time here, thank heaven, apparently it was quite the little property. And then in 1995, we moved it into a construction trailer on a property owned by Mr. Steve Klass. We later migrated into a more modern manufactured home. But we have lived there ever since in those ensuing 11 or 12 years, rent-free, with his blessing. And we're thankful that he's provided that property to us. About a year and a half ago, he approached us and said, you know, guys, I'm going to develop the property. So I've got bad news and I've got good news. The bad news is
I want to charge us.
You're out. But the good news is we want to include you in the building that we're building. And they have put up a building over there on that property that's primarily a storage building that also hosts some commercial operations and will now host us. It will house, for the first time, we'll have all of our vehicles inside. It will house actually two functions. Station 104, which is the medic unit, plus the east side supervisor, will also have quarters there and space there for the vehicle. There's also space for a third vehicle. One of the things we're able to do is to put a reserve vehicle in that station. And actually, that facilitates us in the summertime if the crew that's currently working, let's say the day shift, is out on a call and the night crew comes in, they have a vehicle that they can start to work in and start to pick up calls and get that other crew back off the street. So that's one of the strategies that we're trying to employ at all of our stations, where we can house an extra unit. What we have today is the lease that we've developed over the last two or three months with Mr. Klass. Ms. Webb has been on it, as well as Dave and Mr. Griffin have been helpful. We actually started this process back when Bob Stickles was here and began the process of developing the lease and the relationship. What the lease is basically is a 5-year lease with a 5-year renewable period. The monthly rent is $22.50, and there is a schedule by which it increases over time. We've been all through this thing, and the good news is that the state will pick up 40% of those costs to maintain the station, and also the build-out cost. As we discussed the last time when we came here with regard to the 103 station, which, by the way, opens today, but as we discussed at that time, the state will pay for rental and for build-out. What they will not pay for is building costs, which is the reason we've not built anything to date. And that's a strategy that we may want to revisit in the future. It was a smart strategy in its time because we weren't sure along the way where things were going to develop and where the population was going to increase and where stations ought to be to capture the most of the population. I think we're further along with that now. We have a pretty good idea of where we're going to be 5, 10, 15 years from now in terms of the population, in terms of where things are going to be, so that in the future we may be able to look at, you gentlemen had mentioned the last time, trying to build some structures, and we may be able to do that in the future. I think certainly for anything else that we would build, we would go in that direction. But what I have today is the lease document for your consideration, hopefully for your
Glenn, this is pretty standard price-wise compared. Or
yeah, actually, it's below what he's charging for other tenants in the building. Mr. Klass has been great to work with, and he has been very supportive of us and wants us, you know, indicated right up front when he said we were going to have to move that he wanted us on the property, that he wanted to support the efforts of the paramedic department.
How many square feet?
2670. Thanks.
It's right on Route 1.
Yep.
Right behind just in the Colonial Village area.
Okay, it's just Colonial. The back of the property where we used to be, where we were.
Yeah, right. It's right on the same plot of land where we've been all along. It's just we're moved, and I understand we're going to make arrangements the existing manufactured home that we're in will be used elsewhere by another agency within the county. So we'll
that's cool.
Have that you have a motion?
As well. Yes, sir, I do. The motion is that the Sussex County Council approve the lease agreement between Colonial East LP and Sussex County, Delaware for use of the building owned by them as described therein by Sussex County EMS as Paramedic Station 104 and Paramedic Supervisor Station 100.
So move.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the motion read by Mr. Lutke on the lease for Station 104. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Thank you.
God. Mr. Shade? 830 a square foot, Jones. $1.30 a square foot.
That's cheap.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is still morning, right? Yeah.
Almost. We're still hanging in there.
I'm here for two items. First item is our annual surplus equipment sale. As in previous years, over the past year, we've accumulated a large amount of surplus equipment, calculators, old computers, items that we no longer have a need for, and they just fill up valuable space. These items are in various stages of disrepair, and we've disposed of them over the past couple of years through public sale and auction, and we've gotten some money back for the county coffers. So again, we'd like to offer them as in the past to the public for sale. We also have 12 vehicles that we no longer have a need for. They also are in various stages of disrepair. We have no needs for them in the county. And I'd like permission to send them to public auction as we have in the past.
So I'm sitting around the airport around there.
They're in the airport lot out there outside the county repair facility.
Yeah, right.
The computers are in the basement, stored in old vans out there. I mean, right. we've put this stuff everywhere we can. And as you saw, we put them where we can. And
now you got room in the West Complex.
We're not going to dig them out there. They're heavy in those boxes. So with your permission, we'd like to dispose of those.
Your motion.
A motion that Sussex County Council authorize the disposal of the accumulated equipment and vehicles as mentioned in this list.
So moved.
I have a motion. Mr. Jones wants to look at those. He might think there's something.
Most of these are a lot newer than what I got.
No comment.
I have a motion by Mr.
Don't go on that one, Frank.
Rogers, second to Mr. Jones to approve the motion, Reverend Mr. Shade. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
What's your name? Wash your mouth. That was
Mr.
So
Jones.
Good. Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you. The second item that you have in front of you is it has to do with the airport long-term parking lot and the abandoned vehicles that we've discovered out there. It was brought to me a couple weeks ago to investigate some numerous vehicles that appeared to be abandoned on the long-term parking lot. During this investigation, it was discovered that, in fact, there were quite a few out there that were in extreme stages of disrepair, dry-rotted tires, rusting, no tags, and they appeared to be dumped. After listing the tag and VIN numbers, I got together with the local Delaware State Police Auto Theft Unit. They verified that none of those vehicles, in fact, were stolen. They were just abandoned. The ones that we were able to track tags on that had tags, we've been in touch with. Mr. Hicken has developed a plan where those people will register with him for long-term parking. They'll have a decal or a window card, so they'll be easily identified. But as to the ones that are left, there's 11 that appear to be abandoned, and I've discussed with Mr. Griffin the correct procedure to dispose of them. So the solution is that we send registered letters to all the vehicles that are left left unidentified at this time that we can find people that own. After 30 days, I have to talk to Mr. Griffin. I understand that this procedure of disposing with them, towing them off under the 2003 Homeland Security Act, falls on the state police. We will notify the state police.
To dispose of them?
To dispose of them.
Yep. Well, that's pretty cool.
The major back here disagreed with me, but that's what the book says. So we'll go with that. to prevent this from reoccurring, part of the solution is that all drivers must register with the airport director or his designee. They'll be given a decal and a card that has to be displayed. Any vehicle in the lot without a decal or a card is subject to being towed at the owner's expense. We will put a sign up indicating that it is long-term airport parking, requiring all the vehicles to be registered. Also on that sign, it will indicate that any unregistered vehicles will be towed at the owner's expense. Next, we'll establish an agreement with a local towing establishment similar to Coastal Towing, where they can be come in after being notified. They'll tow the vehicles and impound them. They have the expertise then to dispose of them. It'll be out of our hands.
Or get a check.
And, of course, then we'll have regular inspection of the lot to make sure that this is being complied with.
Is this go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
One quick question. Why would they put a vehicle out there long term? I mean,
well, we do have people, some of the vehicles there from people that say, like one of the gentlemen I talked to lives in York, Pennsylvania, but he flies down here weekly. So the fact that he's using the airport.
He picks up the car.
He has a car here. The one gentleman said, I told him his plates had expired in 03, and he said, there's no way. I drive it every weekend when I'm down there. But in fact, the plate had expired in 03. Another gentleman said, I have the sticker, I just keep forgetting to bring it with me. So they park them there. There's vehicles there that are legitimately there and being used.
Okay.
The other ones is I talked to some people at Norfolk International Airport, and long-term parking's a regular dump site for vehicles used for criminal issues, or they just want to get rid of it. They charge you to take it to like place like Fitzgerald's. You can take it to a long-term parking lot, pull the plates off, and go. Doesn't cost you a cent. Right. And that's what's happened here.
Do any of those jurisdictions charge for long-term parking or storage of an airport car?
Well, you don't pay until you leave. Yeah, right. So you drive in, you get the little ticket, and you go, and you never go back for the vehicle.
Jump the fence and keep moving.
$10 a day.
You don't have to jump the fence. You walk right out the gate like you're getting on an airplane.
Are we allowing them to park in the restaurant park? Are they?
I wasn't asked to investigate the restaurant park.
No, not
that. I was just looking at long-term parking.
This is behind. Right.
This is just behind the old term. There used to be a small manufactured home there. I think they rented cars out of it for a short period of time.
Right, I think.
Right across from the old terminal.
Right.
But we have the ability to clean this up, and we can do it, I guess, with your permission.
Yep, that's cool.
Okay.
Good.
Go for it.
I don't have a motion on that. I'll take my direction from.
Don't need it.
Okay.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Mr. Lang.